36, यहा प्रवृज्य गृहात् पूर्वं त्रिवर्गा अवप्नवात् पुनः यदि सेवता तन् भिक्षुः संन्यासा सह वै वातांशी अपत्रपः यः प्रवृज्य गृहात् पूर्वं त्रिवर्गावपनात् पुनः पुनः यदि सेवेत तान् भिक्षुः स वै वातांशपत्रपः यः प्रवृज्य गृहात् पूर्वं त्रिवर्गावपनात् पुनः यदि सेवेत तान् भिक्षुः स वै वातांशपत्रपः यः प्रवृज्य गृहात् पूर्वं त्रिवर्गावपनात् पुनः यदि सेवेत तान् भिक्षुः स वै वातांशपत्रपः यः प्रवृज्य गृहात् पूर्वं त्रिवर्गावपनात् पुनः यदि सेवेत तान् भिक्षुः स वै वान्ताशपत्रपः यः प्रवृज्य गृहात् पूर्वं त्रिवर्गावपनात् पुनः यदि सेवेत तान् भिक्षुः स वै वातांशपत्रपः यः प्रवृज्य गृहात् पूर्वं त्रिवर्गावपनात् पुनः यदि सेवेत तान् भिक्षुः स वै वान्ताशपत्रपः यः वन्हु प्रवृज्य बीइंग फिनिश्ड फॉर गुड एंड लिविंग फॉर द फॉरेस्ट बीइंग सिचुएटेड इन ट्रांसेंडेंटल ब्लिस ग्रहात् From whom, Purvam, at first, Trivarga, the three principles of religion, economic development and sense gratification, Avapnat, from the field in which they are sown, Punaha, again, Yadi, if, Sevata, should accept tan materialistic activities bhikshuhu a person who has accepted the sannyas order saha that person vai indeed vatamshi one who eats his own vomit apatrapaha without shame Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. One who accepts the sannyas order gives up the three principles of materialistic activities in which one indulges in the field of household life, namely religion, economic development and sense gratification. One who first accepts sannyasa but then returns to such materialistic activities is to be called a vatamshi or one who eats his own vomit. Is indeed a shameless person. Purport. Materialistic activities are regulated by the institution of Varnashram Dharma. Without Varnashram Dharma, materialistic activities constitute animal life. Yet, even in human life, while observing the principles of Varna and Ashram, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, one must ultimately accept Sannyas, the renounced order. For only by the renounced order can one be situated in Brahma Sukha or transcendental bliss. In Brahma Sukha, one is no longer attracted by lusty desires. Indeed, when one is no longer disturbed, especially by the lusty desires for sexual indulgence, he is fit to become a sannyasi. Otherwise, one should not accept the sannyas order. If one accepts the sannyas at an immature stage, there is every possibility of his being attracted by woman and lusty desires, and thus again becoming a so-called grahastha or a victim of woman. Such a person is most shameless, and he is called vatamshi, or one who eats with that which has been already omitted. He certainly leads a condemned life. In our Krishna consciousness movement, it is advised, therefore, that the sannyasis and brahmacharis keep strictly aloof from the association of women so that there will be no chance of their falling down again as victims of lusty desires. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girimet Kripatam Vande Shri Guru Dinatharanam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Shri. I seek blessings of all devotees so that I can speak something for glorification of Lord and for purification of our hearts. So today's purport is pretty heavy in that sense, you know, wherein Prabhupada is talking about sannyas. So we'll try to see this in different, like five different ways today. First, in Vedic system, what is mention of sannyas, like Prabhupada initially it speaks. Then we'll see that though it's in Kali Yuga, it is not advised to take sannyas, why then Lord himself and many acharyas, they took sannyas. Then we'll see how Srila Prabhupada's initial ISKCON, how the sannyas ashram started, and then we'll see practical application, because it says, you know, Prabhupada says we should, you know, all should be, you know, taking renounced order of life. So we'll see in these five things. First, in Vedic, as the perfect system designed by Lord for purification of every living being, Vedas, they elevate person from whatever state they are in to the perfect state. If we just, you know, follow the system of, you know, Varnashram Dharma. So the beauty, so like in prison, there is a reformatory process. So same way, the whole Varnashram system was designed in a way that towards the end of life, one as a spirit soul purifies his existence and goes back home, back to Godhead. So there was a gradual elevation of one's consciousness from being attracted to sense gratification to diverting it completely to do everything for pleasure of Lord. So in the for a conditioned soul to completely do 100% Krishna consciousness is very difficult, because for so many births and lives he has been attracted to this process of sense gratification. So the shastras, they give a regulated permit to do this activity, so that one understands that it is just punashchar vita charvananam, there is no fun doing it, and then gradually he comes, he gets detached from material attachments and then get attached to the service of Lord. So the goal of this Varnashram Dharma and specifically Sannyas order is to ultimately dedicate one's body, mind, soul in while serving Lord in a favorable mood, in a loving manner. So here, like Prabhupada says that one should take ultimately sannyas. So sannyas itself is not a goal, but it is like a stage wherein one decides, or one makes sure that he dedicates his body, mind and word in service of Lord. So in India they sing this very famous verse, which is actually sannyas mantra, kayana vacha manasindriyeva adhyatma nava prakriti swabhava karomi adyat sakalam parasmai narayana iti samarpayami. That means the time of sannyas, one decides that one dedicates his body, mind, words in service of Lord and even his own self. So the history of sannyas in Kali Yuga, it's quite interesting. As per the scriptures, it is said that in Kali Yuga, 5 things are prohibited. First, Ashwamegha Yajna. Second, Gomegha Yajna, that is horse sacrifice, sacrifice in which we put horse as a sacrifice, then sacrifice in which we put cow as a sacrifice, and then offering meat to our forefathers as oblation, and then producing children with the help of one's husband's brother, and fifth thing is taking sannyas. These 5 things are prohibited in Kali Yuga. But then we see that many acharyas have taken, and even Lord himself, he took the sannyas. Why so? So there are 2 things. One is letter of law and another is spirit of law. So once in a temple there was a board saying that please remove your footwears here, and there was a guard to make sure that everyone who comes, they remove their footwears there. So one person, he came in his car, so he thought, let me remove his, my shoes in the car and then enter. So he removed his shoes in the car and he came. So this guard, he stopped him and he said, did you not read this board? He said, what? He said, yeah, read it. He said, yes, please remove footwears here. So he said, you should remove here, not in your car. So what that means, he was following the letter of word, the guard, but he did not understood that the purpose behind that rule is that so that nobody enters the temple with shoes. And this person who has come in car, he has already done that. He has put in the car instead of putting it here. So same way, acharyas, though sometimes we see that there are some like this just now I we saw this verse wherein it says 5 things are prohibited in Kali Yuga, but then still they took a sannyas. Why? Because they wanted to do that for a service of preaching. So there were little technical details. There were 2 types of sannyas. One is ekadanda sannyas, which Mayavadis generally take, and one is tridanda sannyas, which Vaishnava devotees take. So long before Lord and long before even Shankaracharya, there was Vishnu Swami who took this tridandi sannyas, and then after that Shankaracharya took, and then his teachings of Mayavada was so widespread that it became like it spread as wildfire in India. And then due to which the sannyas, it meant that, you know, sannyas means, you know, ekadanda sannyas. So when Lord took sannyas, since he wanted to preach and since he wanted, like we know all that pastime of Lord, wherein when he was chanting the, you know, gopi, the students, you know, they criticized Lord, and then he felt that, you know, if they criticize me, then they are doomed actually, because they are criticizing the Supreme Lord. And then, but he wanted to give this highest Krishna prem to them, so he devised the plan wherein he said, okay, if I take sannyas, then everybody will bow down in front of me as a respect, and that will give me an excuse to give them, you know, love of Godhead. So Lord himself decided that he will take sannyas in this Bharati Sampradaya, which is, you know, connected to Shankaracharya. So they have different titles actually, Bharati, Tirtha, Ashram. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Kesho Bharati, first it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that he gave the sannyas mantra to Kesho Bharati. He said, like, you know, is this the mantra you are going to give me? So actually in one sense he initiated him, and the same mantra Kesho Bharati said, yes, this is very nice mantra, I'll initiate you in the same mantra. And then even after taking sannyas, Lord did not accept the title as a Bharati, because that was, like, you know, very much connected with Shankaracharya, and which is like a, you know, Mayavad thing. But he in those days, for each sannyas guru there used to be brahmachari disciples, and they had a particular name. So for the Bharati disciples, the brahmachari names used to be, you know, Chaitanya. So Lord kept his name, you know, Chaitanya, and he just added, you know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So there are two reasons why Lord this. First one, he wanted to show that he is subservient to his guru. And then the Mayavadis, they have a conception that when they take a sannyas, they become one with God. So Lord wanted to oppose that. You know, it's not true actually. You know, the jiva always remains the servant of Lord. So therefore Lord took sannyas, and to make this public statement basically. And then after Lord, a few more devotees, they took sannyas, like Swarup Damodar, and then, you know, Gadadhar Pandit, Prabhadanand Saraswati, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But after that, from that time till Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, nobody took sannyas. It was quite interesting. There had been, you know, almost, you know, 100 plus years actually. The reason acharyas explain that time, the devotees, they took to the Babaji process of, you know, renunciation, wherein they were paramahamsas, they were, like, you know, not in varnashrama system. So because they followed this path of, like, you know, chanting and, like, you know, serving Lord very faithfully. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he saw that at his time, the process of this, you know, Babaji initiation had been thoroughly become corrupt. People were just doing that to get name and fame, without even following the proper standards. So he again instated this, you know, order of sannyas. He again himself, he took sannyas and started giving this, you know, his disciples sannyas, to do two things. First, to show the humility that, okay, we are not, you know, advanced as a paramahamsas. We are still in the varnashrama system, because sannyasa is still in the varnashrama system. Paramahamsa is there beyond. So though he was a paramahamsa, he still took a sannyas, so that to show his humility. And second, for preaching purposes, he wanted to emphasize that, you know, okay, taking sannyas means it's a greater responsibility, so that we can preach, you know, this message of, you know, Krishna consciousness, message of Lord Chaitanya. So that was his visionary action of, you know, regarding sannyas ashram. And then again, like, you know, Prabhupada also followed in the same lines. So here Prabhupada says that, okay, everyone should take sannyas. So in Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter, Krishna describes that, you know, what sannyas actually means. So the 6.1, it says, you know, anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yah sa sannyasi cha yogi cha niragrin chakriyaha. The Supreme Personality of God had said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no duty. So basically, and in the purport also Prabhupada writes that sannyasa order is not an escapism from the duties. We see in today's day, like, you know, especially sannyasis in ISKCON, their schedules, if we see, it's mind-boggling the way they, you know, travel and preach. So it's, that ashram is not an escape route wherein, okay, I am sannyasi now, you know, just, you know, let everyone come bow in front of me and, you know, give me respects and give me, you know, whatever I need. No, the ashram is for service, just to enhance one's service. And then Prabhupada says in here that one should not artificially jump to that level. So though it is said that, okay, recommended everyone should take sannyas, it's not that we have to first purify our heart by process of devotional service. Otherwise, Prabhupada says here in that how, if one takes to this order immaturely, then he's sure to attract by lusty desires, and that causes a greater disservice to the society. Because if somebody is not following the vows in that particular ashram, it's very much disturbing to the faiths of common people, and is not good even for that own person. So then we see in the history of ISKCON, in initial days, we see there were so many kind of, you know, these deviations wherein somebody took to the sannyas order, but they could not continue. So we have to look at what circumstances Prabhupada gave this sannyas. So those devotees whom he gave, and they were very young. Actually, it is not recommended to give sannyas in very young age. But when Prabhupada came in West, we know that he was not having any help. His health was getting down. He was like, you know, 60 plus year old. And he wanted to spread this, you know, Lord Chaitanya's movement far and wide. And he wanted someone to help him. So therefore, he awarded sannyas to many of them. And they did unimaginable services. All those initial devotees, they were like, you know, 24 by saying serving. We know this, you know, how Chaitanya Charitamrita came out in within just span of, I think, 2 months. They just, you know, wrote, it's very difficult task to publish a book, but they completed the whole, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So they were like practically sleeping just, you know, 1-2 hours and working rest of the time. So the circumstances were such that it was demanding. There was a need to spread this Krishna consciousness movement very vigorously. And there were a lot of, you know, pressures from service, like, you know, pressures of services. And the upbringing of these devotees, it was not like, you know, they were in the, you know, from Badrikashram, you know, from, you know, Gurukula of Vyasdev. No, they were from the Western worlds, wherein there was no concept of this, you know, even the regulative principles. But Prabhupada took that risk for service of Lord. Again, like, you know, he was Acharya and he could, you know, do this adjustment. And during that time, yeah, some devotees, they could not continue. But that's not a problem. Like, the example is given that when we go to battle, there will be some casualties. Some, you know, some of the soldiers, they may get hit by a bullet. Somebody may, you know, even leave their body. So if somebody gets injured, is it good to say that, hey, you know, you got injured? No. They fought, they tried their best. So same way, these devotees, they tried their best. Somehow they could not continue. But we should not take that as, you know, a talk of town, or like, you know, just keep talking about it. So here, like, you know, one sannyasi, he asked Prabhupada, actually, you know, what should one do if one is not able to follow the vows he has taken for sannyas ashram? And Prabhupada, you know, immediately said he should leave his body. But then he went on speaking, like, you know, he quoted this Vantashi quote, wherein he says that, okay, it's as if one is, you know, eating his own vomit. But then he says, but for a devotee, it is not required. The most important thing for a devotee is that he remain in association and he keeps serving Krishna, and, like, you know, Lord and his devotees. So, but that what happened is that the devotee who had asked this question, he did not listen this next part wherein Prabhupada explained this. So he just, you know, fall away from the crowd, because this was during a morning walk. And then later this devotee was not able to sing. So, you know, he might have just, you know, left his body out of, you know, great remorse. And Prabhupada was very much saddened by this. Also, there was another incident wherein one devotee could not continue his sannyas, and then there was, like, you know, so much talk about it that he felt so bad that he posted his danda to Prabhupada. And like, you know, he wrote an apologetic letter that, you know, please forgive me, Prabhupada. I could not keep to my words, you know, the promise which I gave. And by seeing that, Prabhupada cried. He said to devotees that because of your immature behavior and because of this, you know, gossiping around, you have permanently blocked this devotee's road to come back to Krishna consciousness in this life. So, what is, like, you know, how we should take it is, we should not just, you know, kind of keep pinpointing. So generally the tendency of mind is that when it comes to standards, we expect others to be, you know, up to the standards, and when it come to us, we say, anyway, you know, I am practicing, I am, you know, improving. Rather, it should be the opposite way. We should be strict with ourselves, and we should be lenient with others, and we should be encouraging. So we should not get confused when, you know, such talk comes. Nowadays, of course, it's very rare, it doesn't happen. Like, you know, it's very rare, like, you know, nowadays we hardly hear it. But if somebody, you know, questions us about this, you know, a previous history of ISKCON, we should be clear with these concepts. No, they did their best. They served a lot. And then, as, you know, Narad Muni says in Bhagavad Gita that, okay, if somebody serves Krishna, what loss he has? He doesn't have anything to lose. Like, you know, and then even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's, and then, okay, if somebody is following the rules of Varnashram Dharma, but if he has not developed this Krishna consciousness, then what gain he has? He quotes that verse. Same way in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you know, api chet sudura charo bhajante mama ananya bhak. So Krishna says that, okay, even if somebody falls down unintentionally, you know, in not in a premeditated way, then he says, I still consider him as a sadhu. That is, he like, you know, he is properly situated in advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we have to understand that how it was Prabhupada's maturity, it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's amazing understanding of the scriptural quote, wherein they did not stick to the word of scriptures, that in Kali Yuga no sannyas, but they took to the spirit of it, they took that ashram, and they used it very effectively in serving Krishna. So that was their glory. So this was second point. Now third thing is, here Prabhupada very emphatically says that, okay, one should ultimately accept sannyas or renounce order of life. So is it that, okay, after reading this purport, we apply to sannyas ministry, saying that, okay, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, 7.15.36, I am following Prabhupada's order, give me sannyas. No, it need not be. It's every one of us, for us, like, you know, Prabhupada has given a way to advance from the point where we are in. At the same time, he has shown us where we should be actually. So the real spirit of sannyas, Prabhupada says in one of the purport, that it's not the outward dress. It's not that, you know, I have to take a Trirandi staff and, you know, that, you know, sannyasi cloth and, you know, no, it's the spirit. The spirit is whether whatever I am doing, my thinking, feeling, willing, and, like, you know, is it directed towards serving Lord and His devotee? If it's happening, then one may be a householder, one may be, you know, housewife, one may be a, you know, a brahmachari. It's the spirit of sannyas is important. There is, like, the externals won't matter. And then we, like, you know, okay, Prabhupada also explains that that's not the end of it. Okay, after accepting sannyas, what? No, that is not the end. That is just the means to further our devotional service to Krishna. So in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada so nicely says that how if we nicely follow this Krishna consciousness, then naturally we'll act as if we are sannyasis. Naturally we'll do our, like, you know, whatever activities we do through our body, mind and soul, we do it for serving Lord. And slowly by doing that, what happens is that our attractions towards the sense object, it goes down, and then attachment towards service of Lord, it increases. Many times what happens is that when we read, you know, such a heavy purport, we said, yes, you know, all the sense gratification needs to be taken away. This, no, that, no, no, no. But then we fail to focus on positive things. Even when we are, like, you know, sharing this Krishna consciousness with others, generally we say, okay, this rule, this not, this not, this not. But then there is no positive aspect to it, and because of what happens is that since one is not so purified, and if he just tries to do this, you know, neti, 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 not this, not this, not this, then after some time he falls back again to same thing, because he doesn't have anything higher to hook on. So, say for example, when we are walking, we put our first step, and then we lift our second step, we put it, and then we slowly move the first one. We don't like, you know, walk like jumping, like both feet at a time, like, you know, together up in air and then jump. No. So same way, what we have to do is that we have to positively engage in increasing our attachment towards Krishna. Then this detachment part will be naturally taken care. We don't have to, you know, work too much. But if we just focus on negative, mind may give some problem. So what? But when it is positively engaged, when mind is positively engaged, then there is no need, you know, for so much focusing on, you know, negatives. It's naturally taken care. So if we, like, you know, through the process of Krishna consciousness, what Prabhupada has given, so in a practical way, if we keep continue doing that, we'll be in very much good shape, you know, to come to this spirit of sunness. It's very easily, and even in this life it's possible, whatever condition we may be in. So Prabhupada has given this, you know, complete formula of developing the spirit of sunness in our life. There is a another one of the another way to look at it is that when it's basically a facility to do more service, like, you know, the sannyas ashram. So some more, like, you know, technical details. You know that in the Tridandi Sandhyas there are three staffs which represent body, mind and words, actions. And then there is a small fourth staff actually in Vaishnava Sannyas, that is, you know, just kind of a hook. So that is called as, you know, Jiva Danda. That means one is one not only offers his body, mind, words, but also his, you know, also himself. And then Vaishnava devotees, they understand that this this whole concept of sannyas is only for service, nothing else. So, as a practicing devotee, in whichever condition we may be in, we can slowly aspire to be at this complete state. So, by actively engaging in devotional service, it is possible. And then, we don't have to prematurely jump to that. Because as he said, like, you know, Prabhupada said, that if one is still attracted towards sense gratification, then, and if one tries to, you know, follow this order, then, you know, he creates a disturbance. So we don't have to prematurely attempt to do that. There is one more way Prabhupada explains that how to elevate ourselves from this, you know, attraction towards sense object, and that is regulation. And that is specifically in Grihastha Ashram, it's very much encouraged, whatever you do. Because when you do some activity in a regulated way, you lose the fun doing it. Because mind knows, okay, say, like, you know, I like, you know, too much of eating sweets, say, like, you know, gulab jam. And if I make a regulation, okay, you know, I'll eat only one gulab jam every Sunday, you know. So I'm taking it, so mind is peaceful, but then there is no fun, because when fun comes, you know, when there is gulab jam, I just keep eating the way I want. I eat, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, 6. But when we do it in regulated way, there is no fun. We are getting that object, but then anyway, I know I'm going to get only one. You know, that's, you know, we decided. So in any activity, if we feel in our own life that, okay, we are attracted to a particular activity, which is, you know, technically fits in the category of sense gratification, then what we can do is that we can just regulate it. If we regulate it, we'll lose charm and mind will say, okay, no fun doing it, you know, just leave it then. So we can take these, you know, baby steps, and we can aspire for this ultimate state wherein we can dedicate our whole body, mind, words, and ourselves in serving of Lord. And it is possible by this process of Krishna consciousness. So, to summarize, we saw that how the Varnashrama Dharma is a very perfect way in which whatever condition of life one may be in, he can be elevated towards the highest goal, that is, you know, sannyas order. The sannyas order is not an end in itself, but it is a means by which we can completely, you know, one can completely dedicate himself in serving Lord. Then we saw that how, though in Kali Yuga sannyas is prohibited, still acharyas and Lord himself, they took a sannyas because they want to make a public impression. They want to preach. They wanted to preach. So therefore, Lord took sannyas. Then we saw how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he again reinstated the order of sannyas, seeing that the Paramahamsa order, it had become corrupt. You know, people were not following the standards of it. So to make sure that, you know, to stress the point that actually the sannyasi is a humble person, and he's a, you know, it is a way to become humble and do more service to Lord. He again reinstated that. Then we saw that how Prabhupada also took to this order, and then he gave it to so many disciples, and we saw that, okay, there were some casualties, but that was not attributed as a failure or something. No, it was a need of an hour. Prabhupada gave it, and those devotees who tried but could not follow, we don't have to be critical about them, because they did, you know, best of their service, and that is to their benefit eternally. Like, you know, they'll just continue from wherever they left. So we discussed that how we have to be strict with ourselves, but we have to be considerate and encouraging for others, and then, like, you know, help them to raise from whatever level they are in. We also saw that how in practice, sannyasa did not necessarily mean that everyone should, you know, accept a, you know, external dress of a sannyasi and then do the activities of sannyas, but it's more of a in spirit, all of us, whichever ashram we may be in, we can be in the spirit of sannyasi by slowly learning, offering our body, word, mind in serving of Lord, and then we can take a baby step in doing that. And if we just follow the formulas given by Prabhupada, then it would be very easy to come to this, you know, standard of, you know, sannyasa, and purify our heart. So when we accept the sannyas order, gives up the three principles of materialistic activities in which one indulges in the field of household life, namely religion, economic development, and sense gratification. One who first accepts sannyas but then returns to such materialistic activities is to be called vatamshi, or one who eats his own vomit is indeed a shameless person. So this way Prabhupada so nicely explains this, gives a complete understanding about sannyas and how we can in spirit follow it. So thank you very much. Any comments, questions? Yes, please.
You kindly had presented a very what would be the word, positive view of the casualties in the whole process of those who get to perform service, having taken that vow to offer body, mind, and words in the service of Lord Krishna. You'd presented a very sort of kind outlook should such persons have become casualties and not been able to maintain their vows. In this particular purport, one of the words that Srila Prabhupada used was that that person leads a condemned life. So it seems that, you know, as you presented, there's so much merit to the service that was performed, especially at the time when Srila Prabhupada had a need for spreading the movement. Yet at the same time, one is reading here that there's some condemnation for falling down from that position. So one wonders how it is that such persons can continue in this lifetime having put themselves into a position where they've regressed. So that's the question.
Yeah. So yes, actually, it's the last word. It's lives a condemned life. He's indeed a shameless person. So that is to emphasize that one who is entering that ashram, he cannot quote, you know, Prabhupada, like, you know, Bhagavad Gita, you know, apichet sudharacharo, you know, bhajante ma. Even if I fall down, still, you know, I'll continue my devotional service. Or he should not quote, you know, Narad Muni saying that this, I'll just see the verse actually. The translation of that verse is that, like, you know, Narad Muni says that, okay, if one takes to the service of Krishna consciousness, and even if he falls down, what loss he has? That means he doesn't have any loss. But if somebody perfectly follows his Varnashram Dharma, but he doesn't take to the service of Lord, what gain he has? So that was Narad Muni quotes. So the strong words in the scriptures are given to make sure that one should not accept that altar casually or with the spirit that, okay, anyway, even if I fell down, let me, like, you know, there is no harm, let me, you know, I'll continue. But rather, he should be very vigilant to make sure that, no, I cannot take this as an excuse. So therefore, it is said that, purport in Prabhupada says that if somebody does it immaturely, he causes great disturbance to himself and others. So if one is sincere, he tried his best, but somehow he falls down, Krishna takes care of him. But if somebody does it, like somebody takes to the order of sannyas for name and fame, and then in a premeditated way, he goes back into, you know, this activities which are not for the shastram, like, you know, sense gratification, then he is condemned. Now, how can, like, so if I understood the question correctly, the question was how such person can continue this, you know, process of devotional service, right? If somebody falls down. The reason being that bhakti is supremely independent and potent. It is not dependent on this Varnashrama Dharma. So if somebody from heart, he regrets for his activities and, you know, he approaches Lord that, oh Lord, you know, please forgive me, you know, I was supposed to, you know, follow this order very strictly, but somehow I could not because of my own weakness. I am very much, you know, apologetic about it, but, you know, please, you know, please forgive me. Why Lord will not take care of him? It is said that Lord's, this, you know, surudam nature, like, you know, the friendly nature is so great that we cannot commit any act, rather nobody can commit any act which will make, say, like, you know, which will make Krishna say that, you know, you are, like, you know, dumb fool, I'll never take a look on you. No, and that is the only hope we have, because the forces of modes of nature are so strong that however careful we may be, there are very much chances that, you know, we may slip sometimes or other. That's why Prabhupada said that, you know, following process of devotional service is like walking on razor's edge. It's very, like, you know, risky in that sense, because the whole current of, you know, this material energy, it's against us. But this merciful nature of Lord is what is hope for us. So therefore, even if Shastra says that, yes, he is condemned, still, it's not that, okay, he doesn't have any hope. No, if he sincerely regrets, Krishna will take care. Krishna, you know, again reinstates back him. He may not be, of course, for organizational level, like say in ISKCON, those devotees may not be given leadership position or, you know, may not be put in front, but they are never denied the chance to perform devotional service, chance to do service, chance to, you know, chant. They may not be leading it because that may be a wrong example. So, organization-wise, they may not be again put back in the same position, but spiritual-wise, they may become more humble by this. Who knows? And, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trunadapi Sunichena, Tarurapi Sahishnuna, Amanina, Manadina, Kirtani, Sanadina. If they are humble and they say that, oh Lord, you know, I am so fallen, I took this vow, but I am not able to, I could not continue. Your mercy is only hope. They may make more rapid advancement than being a very staunch, proud sannyasi, who is proud of, you know, being a sannyasi. And that pride is there. Who knows? So, that's why these rules, so if tomorrow, if we have to go in this order, then we should meditate on this line. If I accept sannyas and if I fell down, I am a condemned, shameless person. But if we see others, then he tried his best. We don't know what's him and it's between him and Krishna, but we are for sure that if he, you know, practices sincerely in this life or maybe in the next, he'll surely come. So it's two-way perspective. When it comes to us, we should remember Chota Haridas. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said that, you know, I don't remember that verse, but it says that we should always remember the incidents of Chota Haridas to make sure that our mind is not attracted towards sense gratification. So, for us, yes, all these verses, you know, we should, like, it, therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, we should beat up our mind, you know, 100 times with broom and, you know, before, you know, after getting up and before sleeping. So, this is one of the brooming, like, you know, brooming verses, you know, for us, those who are in a special sannyas. One more point I wanted to tell that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and when he was traveling to Shantipur, thinking that he is going to Vrindavan, he was chanting one verse. It was the verse recited by Avanti Brahman. Etam chasthaya paratmanishtha adhyasitam purva mater maharshibhi aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangati nisheva eva. So Lord Chaitanya was telling, like he was singing like this, Avanti Brahman, he sings that, okay, I will certainly cross over this ocean of birth and death, ocean of, you know, which is very difficult to cross, by taking shelter of Lord Mukunda. And he says, why I am so certain? Because there are so many people in previous life, they took to this path and they perfected their lives. So, even if somebody, you know, goes down, if he keeps that sincerity and accepts his, you know, humble position, then surely, like, you know, he'll be protected by Lord. So that is only hope rather we have. Otherwise, if we see even say four regulative principle, you know, gambling, if we have to say in you know, more, you know, philosophical in-depth sense, then even wasting a moment without thinking of Krishna, that's also gambling. Because if that moment, if we die, we don't know where we'll be, right? So in that sense, you know, we are not at the, you know, completely 100% level, even following that principle. But what on our own, can we ever make it? It's very difficult. Next to impossible. But this Lord's mercy is the only factor. And then if somebody is sincere, surely Lord will take care. But for our own, what you said is very correct. We have to meditate on this verse. If I take to some order, then I should not go with a mood that even if I fall down, anyway, nothing is lost. No. We should meditate on this. If I go there and if I don't fall down, I am condemned. So this is both ways. So seeing the same thing from two different perspectives. So is that clear? Thank you. అంతరాశ్రీమద్ భాగవతంకి జై శ్రీల ప్రభువాత్కి జై జై గోప్.